Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, August 19th, 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 40, the first full paragraph. Today's readers are Mary P. on the 12 steps, Lorraine M. will be reading the 12 traditions. Tamara C. will be our reader of the text. The closing reader is Luann C. And our backup reader is Janice P.M. Reading our newcomers will be Yvonne A. and our sponsors. And Shelley E. will give us announcements. Thank you, everyone, for your service, Team Monday. The reference numbers, the share ID numbers for yesterday, our Sunday special edition, is 21666, 21,666. And this morning's share ID number, Monday, August 19th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,667, 21667. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks, Jody. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. Lorraine M., please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you.
Good morning, Lorraine Ann from California. Grateful to be here. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Lorraine M. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 40, paragraph 1. I will now ask Tamra C. to begin reading.
Thank you, Jody. Hi, everyone. This is Tamra C., grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri. It says, we heard no more of Fred for a while. One day, we were told that he was back in the hospital. This time, he was quite shaky. He soon indicated he was anxious to see us. The story he told is most instructive, for here was a chap absolutely convinced he had to stop drinking, who had no excuse for drinking, who exhibited splendid judgment and determination in all his other concerns, yet was flat on his back nevertheless. Well, for a while, we heard no more of Fred. For a while, I was able to use self-reliance. I was absolutely convinced I needed to stop eating compulsively. I just wasn't convinced that I couldn't do it myself. For Fred, you know, the humiliating experience and the understanding of myself, the information I got, that was able to carry me for a while. I did learn that sugar is addictive to me, and I was able to stay away from it for a while, and I thought I had solved my food problem. And it took a very painful relapse for me to lose confidence in my ability to control my eating. And then I was desperate for a solution, but I didn't know, like, what is the solution? Is it like I just need a fresh start? I need more accountability, a better food plan? I need more prayer? I need more willingness, more motivation? What I needed was to learn to have this point emphasized and smashed home to me that I am unable to stop eating or anything else, like controlling people or trying to be perfect or trying to win people's approval. All the things I do compulsively, I'm absolutely unable to stop on the basis of self-knowledge. I really have to, and like Fred, you know, I was ashamed of my behavior. I was depressed about the seriousness of my condition, and I tried quitting on my own resources and self-knowledge. And I get a lot of great self-knowledge in program. I hear people share on the meeting, and I think, oh my goodness, that's me. That's me. I get it. That helps me understand myself. And my sponsor works with me and really helps, you know, increase this awareness of what is going on with me and my thinking. And all of this understanding myself, it's a great relief. And it's not sufficient to keep me out of my addictive behavior, my old patterns, my old sources of comfort. For me, I must have a spiritual solution. I have to have like this inner rearrangement that I can't do for myself. This method and the steps that keep reconnecting me to my higher power. And if I don't, if I keep trying on my own, I'm going to be flat on my back, just like Fred. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. from Missouri. All right, although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share on this first paragraph on page 40?
Janice P.M.
Janice P.M.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P. Anyone else? Okay.
Deborah G.
Okay, we'll go with those three. Janice P.M., Robin P., and Deborah G. Go ahead, Janice.
Yes, thank you, and good morning to you, Jody. And thank you, everyone that is here. My name is Janice P.M., and I am from Medford, Massachusetts, a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater. Well, of course, Fred is really, I can identify with Fred more than the others. Well, I mean, I could identify with him too, but see, this was the inside of me that my thinking thought, gee, this is easy. Just get a good food plan. You know, that's what it is. I know now what it is because just like Bill, you know, Dr. Silkin told him the problem, you know. Didn't know about the solution yet, and that was me. Oh, yeah, the allergy of the body, blah, blah, blah. But what really was going on was I was a liar. I was too prideful that I was the power, that I could fix this. And believe you me, I searched and searched and researched on why I couldn't stop eating. You know, I had all this good stuff. I was married to... And I had so much arrogance. I had so much pride. And I think this was the real essence of the paragraph for me. I thought that I could fix this whole thing because I was victorious. Well, of course, the fall comes before, the pride comes before the fall. That's what it says in the 12 and 12. And boy, I was very prideful. But I didn't know how subtle and sly this disease of mine is. You know, I had the arrogance. I thought, I can do this. This is simple. I got it now, you know. I mean, after all, I'm entitled now to maybe have a little of this and that. And I lost all this weight, but I didn't realize about my mind that I always lied to myself. And that's what I believed, B-E-L-I-E-V-E. And there's that little word inside believe that says liar. You believed a lie, Janice, and I did. I believed in all the, I believed that what I was thinking was the truth, and that gave me the right to act upon it. Well, we all know, if we're a real compulsive overeater, that this is just my perception of myself, which is a lie. I even lied to doctors. They said, Janice, you know, I told you to do this, and I get you to, but I used to lie to the doctors and say, well, geez, I did that, and I did this, but I didn't tell them the whole truth. So he didn't know, they didn't know what to do with me. So if I lie, then I'm going to act accordingly. So I always said, oh, the doctors don't help me, because it was all based on what I told them. Liar, liar. So it went to show me of my, oh, my God, I thought I was just really something. And I cannot be arrogant when it comes to this dangerous, dangerous disease. It'll creep up. Yes, I heard you, and I will stop. It creeps up to me, it did, like a snake, and it got me until I had some input, another power. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Janice PM from Massachusetts. Robin P., please go ahead.
Thanks so much for your service, Jody. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And just so grateful for the meeting and everyone who does service on it. You know, I totally relate to, and because I just felt like I was just trying things on my own. I was so afraid of asking for help. I had so much shame. I grew up in a lot of child abuse, and just everything felt like shame if I asked for help. And I feel like, you know, positive vulnerability is the antidote to shame. And I just get to keep practicing that, you know, reaching out to my God squad, staying in steps 10, 11, and 12 so that I stay recovered today, one day at a time. And, you know, being of service to other people and just showing up. And that's the antidote, you know, to all of that pride and shame that kept me wanting to figure it out myself. And I never won a prize for doing it alone, and it never worked. You know, it. And I always remember, you know, illness and isolation begin with I, and wellness begins with me. And the more we I have, the better I do. And I just get to keep practicing wellness in all of my affairs, and not go into hiding, but just stay connected to God and my fellows. You know, reaching up and reaching out. And we recently went. I went to a conference. I'm a group service representative in another 12-step program, and there was an annual conference in Canada. And I went to that, and then my dad recently passed away unexpectedly, and my husband and I went and cleaned out a huge barn full of things. My dad was an orchestra conductor his whole life, founded and conducted this orchestra, and it turns out he was a hoarder of instruments and music and art and all kinds of things. And it took us days, but we were of service, and we were such a blessing to my stepmom. And that's because I wasn't in the disease. I was in recovery, and I could just get out of myself and help. And that's what I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I get to be a blessing. And it's just the opposite of the way I was when I was in the disease. And you know, when I was off on my own trying to find a solution and disappearing for a while, trying to find my own solution on my own before recovery, they never worked. I tried everything. If something would have worked, it would have worked for me, because I literally tried everything that I ever heard of. And I'm just so grateful for Vision. I'm so grateful to be recovered the past over 8 years, one day at a time. It means so much to me. And my life's completely different. And I still deal with things, but I have a solution today. It's just the opposite of the way it was. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Deborah G., please share with us.
Oh, good morning, Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you, Jody, for your service this morning and everyone's service this morning, making this possible, this meeting I love so much. And everyone that shared so far, thank you for 12-stepping me. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're here. You're not alone. And, I just love to remember that. You know, I don't have to do this by myself because I tried so many times to do it and it failed. And I could relate so much. You know, I really wanted to be free of this compulsion with these foods, these alcoholic foods that I was putting in my body all the time. And, you know, I went to meetings and I even went through the steps in one of the programs and I did all these things, but I really wasn't truly honest with myself. That's what I learned later on, you know, and when I was in these alcoholic foods, I could relate to Fred. I was actually shaking. And I think maybe it could have been the times when I was not in them, I was withdrawing from it, you know, because they were alcoholic foods. And then it affected my thinking and my life, you know, was unmanageable in so many areas, relationships and emotional nature, all these things. And but I couldn't truly see that. I couldn't see reality that was happening. So it was like not being honest and not being aware. And, you know, it took a long time. I guess I had to do all those things to get to where I'm at right now. I'm grateful. You know, I don't have any regrets because of what my life is today and where I'm at today and my abstinence and my recovery today. And I'm not constantly going to some place other than here to get help, you know. And I'm so grateful that I found a solution here. And I love this book. I love Overeaters Anonymous. I love OA Visions. I love this program. I have a great respect. It's saving my life. And I love this book. I love all the literature, but I love this book that I have a way to live today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Okay, we are on page 40, the first paragraph. We heard no more of Fred for a while. Who would like to share?
Bruce in Florida.
Bruce, Florida.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Wendy M.
And Wendy M.
Cat C, Ohio.
Cat C, Ohio. Okay, let's go with those four. Bruce, Jordan, Wendy, and Cat. Please go ahead, Bruce. Press star one, Bruce. Bruce, I don't hear
you.
There
right,
you are.
I'm here. Thank you. Great. Yeah, I just have a little flubadub on the mute thing here. So I'm doing good. I'm Bruce. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Fort Myers, Florida. Glad to be on the line. This program and this reading is tremendous. And, to look at Fred's story, which I really relate to this one as well as the other ones, Jim and the Jaywalker and everybody. I relate to all these stories in here on the food. And I've been out of town for 3 weeks and traveling. And I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking that the program would just work itself, even though wasn't working it. But it turns out I got to work it. So things got a little floppy. And so I'm back in. So again, you know, I have to work the program every day. And that means getting up, doing a third step, seven-step prayer, praying, reading the literature, going on to meetings, talking to my sponsor, staying on the food plan, all of that. So here it says, Fred soon indicated he was anxious to see us. So what brought him around to wanting to see these guys and talk about this subject? It was the pain of what he went through. You know, he'll go on to tell about that, but he hit a real, pretty good bottom all of a sudden there. And it seems that I can't do it myself. Fred, when we find out here, Fred can't do it himself. And I have to have help. And where do I get the help? I get it from you guys, from God, and the program. And that's where I get it. And I have to have all those legs of the stool. So I'm very blessed to be here. Thank you for, thank you. Appreciate it. And I'm Bruce, and I'm in Fort Myers, Florida, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce, from Florida. And Jordan L., please share with us.
Hey, good morning, Jody. Thank you for moderating. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on this meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. I don't get to be on this meeting very much live anymore, so it's really special to be here. but what a paragraph, huh? I relate to Fred a lot. I relate to Fred especially, more than some of the other stories in this chapter, though all the stories in this chapter are great. But Fred is the one I relate to most. And I think that's because Fred is, he's not a bad guy here. He's got a lot of things going for him. And well, when I came into recovery for the second time in 2017, I could have said a lot of the same things. Most people would have said a lot of the same things about my life at that point in time. My life had been way more unmanageable than it was at that point. I actually, from the outside, it looked like I really had it together. I had just bought my first house and was in a long-term relationship, and I had a lot of things going for me, very, very similar to what Fred's situation is. So when I read this, it's telling us here that the story he has to tell is meant to be instructive, right? Supposed to be learning something from it. So here's Fred. He's absolutely convinced that he has to stop drinking. He has no excuses to drink and exhibits good judgment and determination in all these other places of his life. Yet he's drank again. And that, for me, that sort of stark powerlessness, if you will, this guy, he has every reason to stay sober, just like I had every reason to stay abstinent, and had been at one point in those 5 years in between the first time I came into OA and the second time I came back into OA and stayed in recovery. I had been abstinent, but I had not stayed that way. And I really saw that I couldn't stay that way on my own power. It was just not going to happen. Even with all these wonderful things that I had to stay abstinent for, you know? And so for me, that is stark powerlessness. No judgment, no harshness. I don't have to feel guilty or be punished for it. I'm just simply powerless. And so I think with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. Perfect timing. Wendy M., please share.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Jody, always good to hear you on the line. Thank you for your service and everyone's shares and service. So when I think of Fred, Fred's like a guy I grew up with, like absolutely, you know, and my thinking, like I grew up in a family where it was about intellectual, it was about absolutely not just self-will run riot, but, you know, we can do this. And we can do it alone. And we don't trust anything. That's how I grew up. So I feel like I really know Fred pretty well. I think I went to college with Fred. He reminds me of, like, most of the college guys. Very successful. But yeah, just missing that one element called spiritual life, missing God. And the other thing I say about Fred is you can be too smart for this program. Absolutely, 100%. I'm sure I came in that way. Like, I get it. I read the book. I'm good to go. And honestly, you guys, I've been in 24 years, and I didn't even know it was about God. Like the program I have today, thank you, God, is radically different than the one I walked in having. So I get Fred. I really, really get it. And clearly what's happening here is God has not landed, right? And I want to talk about that in a second. And then the strategies that you know, his whatever, self-knowledge, but also on page, I think it's 61, I just needed to exert myself more, right? Like, I know what I should do. I have self-confidence. I just need to exert more. That'll do the trick. Because that's been the strategy Fred's whole life, and certainly was a strategy in my life before God landed for me in 2015 when I read this book. And here's the other thing. We're really talking about lying. And what's the problem with lying is you don't even know you're doing it. Like, to me, that's the most dangerous aspect of lying. You know, all of these, you know, funded judgment and all of it that he has, it's just, right, a form of lying, but I didn't even know I was lying. That's the deal. And the difference today, the psychic change is going, oh, my God, I'm lying right now, right? It's having that awareness in that moment, that connection with your higher power. It doesn't mean I don't lie. It's just that I stop and go, oh, I'm in it. I'm in the disease, and I need God, you know? And I always say this, you know, the disease is in my voice, so it sounds right. So I don't even know. But that switch, that awareness that we get now, you know, when you get the psychic change, when you're catapulted into the fourth dimension of existence, you are now with God. And you know what to do because you're working this program like your life depends on it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Wendy M. from Colorado. Kat C. from Ohio.
Oh, yes. Thank you for letting me share today and be of service. So I definitely related when it said we heard no more of Fred for a while. So let's see. I was in a recovery program, but it wasn't specifically for food. And I felt like I was praying to the Lord and he'd help me gain control over my food, going low carb, and I lost so much weight. And then what happened is that I ran into my, you know, how life happens and things just turn upside down. And, you know, that's where that's where me personally, my food problems come in is with, you know, the spiritual malady, the overwhelm, the getting in your emotions, and you just act in how you've always acted. And so I didn't have control. I didn't even realize that compulsive overeating was my problem. I didn't even know that. I just thought, well, my whole family is overweight, and we've always, food has been everything to us. Everything revolves around food. And so I just assumed it was, you know, it wasn't compulsive overeating. But as I have gone on, the Lord has pointed out to me that, yes, it is the food. And that has been my idol or my God, like my stomach was my God. And, you know, and that's just something that he pointed out for me. So, and I found myself flat on my back again, gained back the weight just overly, you know, over what I had been before and what it took me 3 years to work on with him and in that program or whatever. It took me like less than a year to mess that up. So, yeah. And I found out, you know, stepping away from community was a problem. And that's what happened is I stepped away from community and from even talking with anybody, even if it wasn't in this program, it was in a recovery program. And so I wasn't being accountable. I wasn't being, I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't have any of that, even though I was the one leading that program. I wasn't following it to the T like God wanted me to. So in this program, it's been completely different. Once I surrendered and admitted that this is my problem, that he pointed it out to me, it was like magic. And today, you know, I'm celebrating 19 days of abstinence, and I'm so grateful to the Lord. I'm so grateful for everyone on this line that has been a part of saving me. So with that, I'll pass.
Great. Thank you so much, Kathy from Ohio. Hallelujah. Okay, we are on page 40, in case you're coming in late. We're on the very first paragraph. We heard no more of Fred for a while. Who else would like to share?
Tammy G. from Virginia.
Is that Tammy?
Yes.
Okay, great. Tammy G., Virginia.
Yvonne A., BC, Canada.
Yvonne A., BC.
Nancy L. in Arizona.
Nancy L. Great. Let's stop there for now. Arizona. Tammy G., Yvonne A., and Nancy L. Go ahead, Tammy.
Thank you. As I read this, I am fairly new to true complete abstinence, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid because I'm flat on my back, not from relapses, because I am fairly new to this, but from like failed resolve. And I just see so much of Fred and myself, and thinking about like all the worldly things that I depended on. And as I was listening to the reading of this excerpt this morning, I was it reminded me of something that I read years ago that I've never forgotten, from, I think it was a biography maybe, or letters or something that of C.S. Lewis, where he talked about like how he had really examined himself, and what he discovered is like he was just this big mess of, you know, worldly desires. He was this big mess of fears. He was this big mess of, you know, he put it much more eloquently. I'd have to look up the quote to remember exactly, but, you know, I remember at the end he said, you know, I am legion, or I was legion. And I think about that, and I think about how, like, that's Fred, that's me, and how grateful I am for my work with my sponsor, or how grateful I am for my sponsor, and how grateful I am that God is really, like, revealing these things and myself to me. so that I can maintain however many days of absence it is since August the 3rd. I've kind of stopped counting. But I'm so grateful for that and grateful for you guys this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy G. Yvonne A. from British Columbia, please share with us.
Oh, thanks so much, Jody. Good morning. My name's Yvonne A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from BC, Canada. And yeah, my story kind of echoes some of the shares from this morning, and that was that I was in a different program. It actually wasn't a 12-step program, and I was so sure that this time it had been 11 months off of sugar and flour, but, you know, it was not abstinence like I practice today. But I was so sure that this time it was it. It had been a very, very long time since I'd been able to do anything for 11 months. And yet, you know, the circumstances rolled around that I could use for an excuse to pop something that I shouldn't be eating, that I knew was going to cause problems for me. Somewhere in this book, it's one of the stories says, I sensed I was being none too smart. And I absolutely did sense that. I knew, but I went ahead and I took that first compulsive bite anyways. And it was so disheartening. I was embarrassed and ashamed. I didn't tell anybody. I don't have children, but I have a husband. I didn't tell him that I had relapsed, that I was eating sugar again. Everything was in secret. And for me, I get an effect from the secretness of it, from sneaking out to go for food, to making sure that I've cleaned up everything, that no one can tell that I've been out on, eating things that I shouldn't be eating. And the anticipation of doing it also causes an effect for me. And I felt really hopeless, and I did feel like I was flat on my back yet again, and I just didn't know where to turn. And obviously, in there, I heard about OA again and thought, okay, maybe this time, maybe if I go there. But I came in the doors. It took me another couple of months to get a sponsor and to give my will and my life over to this program. But wow, what a change that has made to me. And so, yeah, one day at a time. I know that abstinence is absolutely required for me. That is the one black and white thing left in my life today, is that I must be abstinent to be connected with my higher power, to be connected with you guys, and to feel the love and the joy and the contentment that I feel every single day now. Even bad days, I can still find those things. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Yvonne A., for sharing with us. Nancy L. from Arizona, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jody. Welcome, newcomers. This is Nancy L. in Arizona, recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And we didn't see Fred for quite a while. That just reminds me of when I was 5 years old, I started to get chubby. And then by second or third grade, I was having to wear special dresses. They called them Chibet clothes. I always thought that was funny, Chibet. Anyway, so probably right around 17, 18, I started the pan ways. And I went for years and years and years and years and years. And I really didn't get any kind of recovery. So finally, I think I was right around 50, and I said, you know, I'm done with this. This place is never going to see me again, and I'm not going to see it again. This pay and way doesn't work. I'm finished. I'm done. But, you know, talk about living in denial. I was living in total denial that, oh, does that just mean I'm going to stay where I'm at, you know, pretty heavy by then, that I don't have to deal with all this pay and way? No. This is a progressive disease. How could I not be clear about that? Because all my life I was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So anyway, I guess that pay and way could say, we haven't seen her in a while. I finally showed back up again, and you know, I paid my money, I got on the scale, and then I just had to go sit down. I couldn't even talk to the lady that was weighing me. I had to go sit down because I didn't want to faint. I had gained so much weight, and I guess that's when I realized that, I'm sunk here. This place doesn't work for me, and it surely doesn't work for me to stay away. I'm sunk. And I'm very, very grateful that my higher power led me to Overeaters Anonymous, and it's here that I found the 12 steps work for me. Thank you, God. With that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy L. from Arizona. We have time for another share. Who else would like to share? If you're not used to sharing, this is your opportunity. We'd love to hear you. Take a deep breath.
Jan L., Florida.
Jan L., please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Jan L. from Florida. I'm sharing because I feel like I'm getting a gut instinct that I need to, not for me so much. I've been recovering quietly in my state of unknowing, my state of surrender, finally. However, I just kept thinking about people who struggled for a long time, like me. So I'll tell a bit of what I mean by that. Much of my struggle in the past, 3-5 years, has been in the program, and even in the past few years in Big Book Recovery, which I found at vision meetings and other ones, is the only thing that will work, because I have to have a spiritual experience, because I am the chronic compulsive overeater type. There's no question. It's a very little girl. So even before that, I was in OA for decades. So I'm sharing. What I did was struggle in my self-directed compliance and effort to work these steps, start over, get sponsors again, again, again. So I have no regrets on that. However, someone I consider a good friend, even though I've only met them one time, I kept hearing the words, never quit, never quit. And actually, this was my only option, so I did never quit. But I can just say that today I have an acceptance, and I use that word acceptance, not an understanding. Because my understanding has really been in the way, because that's connected with my knowledge, which is connected with myself and what I want, what I believe, and what I think I know. But my acceptance of my disease and my absolute powerlessness and need for a power outside of myself. Once I put down every allergic food and ingredient, because that opens the door, is the only thing. I feel different, and I'm new. I'm newly started over again in the steps, but I do know that I'm changing, not by my power, by this other power that carries me around. And I redirect my thoughts to it as much as possible. And the meetings help so much, the step work, my sponsor, because I'm like a baby that needs to be carried, because I'll hurt myself. And I won't even know I'm doing it. I'll believe my own voice, et cetera, like everyone has said so beautifully in this meeting. So I guess my message is to anyone who struggles and thinks they'll never get it or whatever, like me, don't quit. Keep working towards your surrender. Thanks.
Thank you, Jan L. from Florida. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lou Ann C. please read our closing?
Thank you, Jody. Thank you, everyone, for your great chairs. You really helped me this morning. I'm Lou Ann C., recovered just for today in Boise, Idaho. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.